Acts chapter 4, reading verse 1 down to verse 12. Acts chapter 4, reading at verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. As you can tell by the reading of scripture, the account here given in Acts chapter 4 really continues from the scene in Acts chapter 3, where for over 40 years, a man who had been incapable of walking, a man who was impotent, a man lame from his mother's womb, was then made to walk. He was leaping and praising God. As the two apostles named Peter and John made their way into God's house, they witnessed to this man and shared the good news of the gospel. And to cut a long story short, he was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And proving it to be so, he stood, he walked, and he leaped, praising God. He showed that change that was within by walking, by the walking in this power of God. He continued with the servants of God as he came into the temple. But when the Lord healed this man's body physically, he healed this man's soul spiritually. As we said, there were signs following the work of Christ in his life. But it was to the responses of this man's healing that there was different variations. On one hand, the Lord used the miracle to call thousands unto himself. When the multitudes became aware of this man's healing, they were filled with amazement and willingness to hear the gospel preached from the lips of Peter. And again, as a result, 5,000 souls believed. But on the other hand, the religious establishment of the day, they were filled with intense anger, and they arrested the apostles and placed them in prison overnight to interrogate them the following day. Peter and John, they were brought before the Jewish council named the Sanhedrin. And it was before this company that a wonderful opportunity was given to share the gospel. The Sanhedrin asked the question to Peter and John, by what power or by what name have ye done this? In other words, referring to the healing of this man, referring to the work of grace in his life, By what name is this done? And of course, that gave them an open door to share the gospel. Peter delivered a message with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And he said in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They took, and Peter took, every opportunity to declare the gospel of salvation, because salvation signifies pardon, the forgiveness of sin, peace with God. The apostle Peter, he presented these great truths about salvation that were only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same is today. As we have this gospel mission, we must not waste any opportunity. But as we stand before a great company of people, we must declare unto you the gospel. We must declare unto you the name by which sinners can be saved. We must declare unto you the truth of God's word, how that our sins can be forgiven. And we must declare, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice three simple thoughts. Salvation in, the title is Salvation in Christ Alone. Salvation in Christ is essential. Look at those words at the end. Whereby we must be saved. The word saved means to be rescued, means to be delivered. And so the very fact somebody needs to be rescued, somebody needs to be delivered, means that they are in danger. And therefore, salvation in Christ is essential for that one in danger. It is necessary because men and women need to be saved from sin's power and sin's punishment. But the case is, as it was, as Peter spoke to the great company, men and women this day do not see themselves in that danger. They do not see themselves needing to be delivered from their sin because they do not see themselves as sinners. They do not see themselves as God sees them. Rather, they see themselves as they want to see themselves. And you talk to people on the street and you say, you need to be saved from sin. And they will tell you, I have no sin to be saved from. I don't need to be saved because I'm a good person. I've done well in life. And they view themselves as having a natural righteousness. They view themselves as having favor with God, something they've worked, something they've earned, something that is a natural gift to them. In other words, they see themselves as like the Pharisee. I am not as other men are. Oh yes, they of all their errors, but when it comes to me, when it comes to my life, there is no imperfection. And I do all these things. But when I come before God, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 64, verse 6, that we are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. The best we think we can do is unacceptable and unclean to God, because he views sinners in their unholiness and in their uncleanness. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 teaches that salvation, forgiveness, pardon, acceptance with God is not according to the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Peter, as he preached to this people, he did so to exalt Christ. But as he preached, they refused to see themselves in spiritual danger. They claimed to have all the religion they needed. They followed their practices. They prayed to their imaginary gods. But their understanding had been blinded by sin. their mind had been darkened and that they could not understand the things of God. Sin had put a veil over their eyes, causing them to think that the works they were doing actually pleased God. Again, you think of the Apostle Paul before he was saved. All the things that he did, promoting false religion, persecuting the church, killing Christians, consenting to the death of Stephen. He thought it was all to please God, when all it was unacceptable to the Lord. He was further and further and deeper into sin. But I'm glad Paul could say that the Lord saved him, who was the chief of sinners, the sinner of sinners. Men and women who are lost in their sin and who think they are saved because of good works are in fact lost and following the course of this present evil world that leads them to eternal damnation. Verse 2 gives the reaction of the gospel as it was preached to these religious leaders. Notice, as God's servants preached, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Peter, as he preached, he exalted Christ. He preached a risen Savior, a living Redeemer, a victorious Sovereign, an eternal salvation, full atonement. And yet, at these great gospel truths, as he was witnessing and pleading for souls in danger, souls in bondage, souls lost in tradition, they were angered because the resurrection of Christ proved that all he said he would do, he did. That after his death, he would rise again. The resurrection testified that God accepted the sacrifice and the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ by the shedding of his own precious blood. You see, the Sadducees and those religious leaders, they denied the resurrection. They had a religion without Christ, and they depended upon all their religious practices, their dead customs, their empty vanities. They kept going through the emotions. But they were in danger because they were rejecting the one who is eternal life. They were rejecting the only one who could save their soul. Yea, they were rejecting the one where Peter said that God has given him as the only name under heaven whereby sinners could be saved. And so in this gospel mission, we are on a mission to see you rescued from sin's darkness and brought into the glorious light of the gospel. We're here to preach on to you that there's no other name under heaven, meaning that only upon earth the Savior saves from sin. We have revealed then a fundamental truth that because souls need to be saved, then they are in danger of eternal damnation. All are born in sin. None are born naturally righteous. No one is born free from sin. Rather, we come into this world already possessing a sinful nature, a fallen nature, born the children of wrath, even as others, born the workers of disobedience, dead in trespasses and in sin. As David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, sin is the reason sinners need to be saved. Sin is the reason you need that name that is above every name, that name that is given to you in earth under heaven, that you will be saved. You see, sin brought physical and spiritual death into the world. Sin separates men and women from God. And the result of sin is that the human nature is corrupt. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all who can know it. And therefore, because the nature is corrupt, because the nature is sinful, all the pursuits, the practices, our path are leaning towards sin because we do that which is natural to do. That's why you never have to teach a child to do wrong, because it naturally does it. That's why you never have to teach a child to misbehave or to go its own way, because it does so by nature. And the heart, by nature, has no desire, no love for God, but left in that state, that life will perish. Left in that state, that soul will be left for eternal damnation. That's why you are in danger and you need to be saved, delivered from sin. And therefore, I rejoice this day that I can say to you, I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. A message that you look and live, because there's life, life, eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the one you must look to and be saved. He's the light of the world. He's the wisdom of God. He's the one that shines into darkened hearts. He's the one who sets sinners free. He's the one who enables the sinner to walk in the newness of life. Therefore, before you can live for Christ, Christ must first live within you. Only when you have new life can you live that life. Salvation in Christ is essential. Essential to have your sin forgiven. Essential to have peace with God. We must be saved. You must be saved today. Notice secondly, salvation in Christ is exclusive, because Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. Again, as Peter and John stood before this Jewish council, not only did Peter show them that they needed to be saved, but he showed them the one who is able to save. You see, the gospel and the preaching of the gospel excludes all other man-made saviors, all other man-made ways of salvation. But the gospel in doing so then constrains sinners to the only one who can save, the only one who can deliver. Neither is there salvation, the forgiveness of sins, full pardon, in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The exclusiveness in Christ alone. He is the way, the only life, the only truth. The gospel is God's appointed and established way for fallen humanity to be saved. But that is in Christ alone. And this is the vital issue of our day. Yea, in any generation, who can forgive sin upon earth? Where does the guilty sinner turn to have pardon from sin? How can a sinner have full assurance of sin being forgiven by God? And Peter did not leave his hearers in any doubt. He did not leave them to come to their own conclusion. Rather, he said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What name? Who is Peter speaking to? Who does that name refer to? Does it mean the church? Does it mean the Pope? Does it mean the religious system? Does it mean the wee priest down the road? Notice the name in verse 12 refers back to verses 10 through 11. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so Peter's direct. He lets them know, I'm preaching to you Christ, and the name you must be saved is not my name. It's not the name of religion. It's not the name of your organization. It's the name of Christ. whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone, referring to Christ, which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head corner. Peter identified the gospel which sinners need to be saved from as found in Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not one of many names or one of many ways of salvation. Jesus Christ is the only name and the only way God has revealed on earth for sinners to be saved. We read the two words in verse 12, other. Notice the words, any other and none other. And both words have a great lesson in them. In the first part of this verse, Peter said, any other. And that phrase, any other, means another of the same kind. And so Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. He's saying, there is none other of the same kind. There's not another Savior who can save. There's not another Savior equal to the Lord. There's no other name that has power to forgive sin, only Christ. There's no other name the same as Christ upon earth who can forgive sin. The name Jesus and Jesus Christ himself has all power. I say this here because in the Spanish world, there are many people named Jesus. You know the name, well, really the translation is Jesus. And we lived in Puerto Rico. Everybody was called Jesus near enough because that's the name Jesus and that's the translation Jesus. And so you have many people who may take that name. But I say there's only one name under heaven, only one Jesus who can forgive sin. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The second time this word is used, again the word none other, means another of a different kind. There is not another name. There's not a different kind of name. There's not a different kind of Savior who will take you to heaven. Oh, don't believe this lie. We're all going to heaven, but we're just getting there our own way. You go your way and I'll go my way and we'll get there at some point. Peter states, there is no different kind of Savior and there's no different way to heaven. There's only one way and that's through Jesus Christ. Maybe you have been trying to get to heaven, but you've missed that way and are missing that way because you seek heaven without Christ. There's no second name. There's no replacement. There's no second choice. Jesus is the only name given for sinners to be saved. He alone is qualified. He alone is appointed. He is the one alone who can remove the guilt of sin. He is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. Therefore, men and women this day, look to no other, pray to no other, confess sin to no other, but Jesus Christ alone. Notice finally, salvation in Christ is emphasized, whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And so Peter, at these words, as he's pleading with these people, as he's preaching Christ to them, he does so with a verdict. He does so with a result. He wants to see them saved and he gives them the truth. He wants them to know, here it is, Christ and Christ alone. He is the only name whereby we must be saved. You want to get to heaven, you must be saved by Christ. You want true pardon of sin, true peace with God, you must be saved by Christ. It's not take it or leave it. It's not come back to it. You must be saved, and you must be saved now. The word must means it's necessary, absolutely necessary. Again, it emphasizes, it strengthens the argument there's salvation only in Christ. The same word is used in John chapter 4, verse 4, referring to the Lord. He must needs go through Samaria. And that phrase again means it's absolutely necessary. Why did the Lord go through Samaria on that occasion, John chapter 4? Because there was one woman there, one soul he came to seek and to save. One woman who was living in sin. And that woman, after she got saved, she went round and told others, come see a man that told me all things whatsoever I did. Because that's what the gospel does. When a sinner is saved by grace and they've realized from the sin that they've been saved from and the misery they've been brought out of, they desire to go and tell others the gospel. Come see a man that told me all things whatsoever I did. This is the Christ, the Son of God, who saved me, who changed me. And he's able to do the same with you today. And souls came and they got saved. Because this woman was saved by the grace of God. It's necessary. Again, the Lord Jesus, John chapter 3, said the same word. John 3, verse 7, to Nicodemus, he must be born again in order to enter into heaven, in order to see God face to face, in order to have peace with God. Ye must. It's absolutely necessary. You must be born again. There needs to be new life. Life that comes from above. Spiritual life. Because we're born, not salvation is not by the will of man or the will of the flesh, but it is by the will of God. Likewise, this gospel mission, if it's only one person who comes to Christ, it is worth it all. It's absolutely necessary for you to come to Christ. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Young person, older person, it's absolutely necessary. You must be saved. You must be saved today. Don't leave this house until you are saved by grace, until you've come and trusted in that only name under heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must and can be. Will you come this day and ask the Lord to save you? Peter preached none other than Jesus Christ. And that's what I do for you today. None other than the Lord. Amen. There's one who agrees with me at the back. Amen. Praise the Lord. So there you go. And so you come this day to the Lord Jesus Christ.